curious, you know, even your line was quoted about, you know, if you want to know how our profession ends, look at demand media at one point.
Yeah.
how do you feel about that now? I mean, do you still stand by that, or?
No. My take is a bit more nuanced than that. I mean, I had read Dan Roth's sort of epical takedown of demand media, and, you know, that was the line that came to me very quickly. You know, I've accepted the fact that it's going to follow me around forever, which is fair. I said it. But since then, I've tried to look more deeply into the content farms and their model, and think about what's so upsetting to me, and what parts I think are getting a bit of a bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to think I have a more nuanced take on things now. What really bothers me about the content farms is not what they do to you know, the wages of journalists or writers. I mean, I wish they didn't depress them the way they do, but, you know, that strikes me as more of a law of economics than anything else. And if it weren't demand media figuring out how to leverage a global workforce better, it would have been somebody else. I'm also really suspicious of people who are unhappy about content farms because they think, you know, writing demands some sort of living wage. I mean, sure, I agree with that, but when we start setting what living wages are for things, that's kind of problematic. It's a little North Korean, frankly. But what bothers me is much more from the point of view of readers, not writers, that I think the content farms are fine for some very straightforward tutorial-type material. I'm constantly winding up at eHow when I can't remember how to say grab a screen grab on my Mac. And they're fine for things like that. But when you start getting into more qualitative things, features, news, et cetera, then I think that the business model that exists around creating this content is pretty much a guarantee to create subpar articles. And that's not necessarily the fault of the writers or the people involved. It's baked into the model. You know, if you're a writer and you have 15 minutes to write a piece, to have it be worth your time, you're not going to produce something very good. If you're a copy editor who has, you know, 6 or 8 minutes to copy edit something, the copy edit's not going to be very good. And so on down the line. I mean, it's like, this gets compared to an assembly line all the time, but imagine an assembly line where, you know, each worker only had time to sort of half-assedly bolt everything together and give it a quick look. I mean, you wouldn't get a very good car. So that's what troubles me, is that, you know, the more of this material is out there, the more it degrades search, and, you know, the more all our experiences trying to find valuable information, the more all those experiences suffer. So that's what bothers me about it. And, you know, again, that doesn't really have all that much to do with journalism or with the wages of writers. To me, it really has to do with worrying about the reader, not the writer.
Meaning that people will be seeing what are basically low-quality articles when they do searches. Like, they're getting prominence, and they really shouldn't have that prominence or that popularity.
That's the worry to me, yes, that, you know, the algorithms the content farms use are quite good, and, you know, they're excellent at SEO, and therefore, you know, this stuff essentially shoots up in search results and crowds out other things. Now, I do think there are some things going on in search that may make that less of a factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rise of social search is one. Social search is much harder to game with SEO.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on the contrary, though, if some of this material does effectively through social search, then that speaks to the fact that, you know, it's been good enough for people. And then, you know, my objections are snobbery or really, you know, beside the point. But I don't think it will in a lot of cases. you know, one thing that really interests me about social search is if you look back at kind of why the basics of Google work, I mean, it's basically an industrialization of social search. I mean, they essentially reduced to a mathematical formula the idea of what makes information trustworthy. A lot of different people link to it, give it their stamp of approval, and that shoots it up the rankings. You know, that had to be the way it was done because, you know, 12, 15 years ago, social search simply didn't scale. I mean, you could only really exchange that stuff via email. There was really no way for it to break out of your own very small peer groups, and it moved very slowly, and it wasn't a very effective tool. But, you know, now with things like Facebook, Twitter, and everything else, social search really does scale, and that's why it's becoming so much more important. So that's interesting to see. And the other interesting fact – sorry, Mark?
It might be harder to game something like if there was a Facebook search that gave you, you know, what's been linked to the most by people on Facebook. That might be harder to game.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's – I mean, I think the other piece of that is that, you know, you've already seen in the last couple of months, you know, Google move much more aggressively into social search. You know, all my searches turn up at the bottom – you know, what people in my social circle are doing. There's many more kind of real-time tools and stuff like that. And that's led a lot of people to think that, you know, that Google will take a look at kind of the secret sauce and how the content farms are scoring high and then somehow downgrade them or figure out how to eliminate them. And I suppose that's possible, but I'm not sure I would bank on it. I mean, in my experience, Google has always been very careful of getting out staying out of qualitative judgments about content. That hasn't been something it traditionally does. And, you know, I mean, I think it's a fairly sizable philosophical shift for them to start doing that. So I'm not as confident as some content farm critics are that just goes away with some Google iteration yet to come.
And what about the kind of the context around content farms and like what preceded it? It seems like a lot of people don't really think about, you know, sites like about.com and even weblogs that Jason Calcanis started. I mean, a lot of people say, well, those are just blogs that were set up according to SEO and what people were searching for the most. And even Gawker, you know, I mean, they're very much focused on getting hits and just doing the posts that are, you know, tied to search.
Yeah, I wrote about this earlier this week, that there's this content farming has thrown a lot of things into a new perspective and gotten people thinking about some editorial tools in different ways. And to a certain extent, that's great, but I also see this kind of troubling trend where some tools that get used by the content farms are being looked down on. I think that's a bit dangerous. You know, one of them is the idea that, I mean, at the heart of what demand does, they have this very smart algorithm for figuring out what people are searching for and then kind of generating ideas off of that. And then they look out at what they can make in terms of ad revenue for the list of ideas and then assign them out. And, you know, you may not necessarily like how that fits into what demand does, but, you know, to me, the underlying premise of that is something that really ought to make any news publisher, you know, sit upright. It's basically a way of saying, what are people searching for? And that's something you really need to know, and that's something that, you know, frankly, we don't, as an industry, have the best track record of being interested in paying attention to.
It's something that's applicable to traditional media. They could use those types of tools to try to even decide on what to report on based on what people are searching for in their community, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it was Yahoo kind of got whacked by this. There was this New York Times story about the algorithm as editor, and the story was actually pretty nuanced and a pretty interesting exploration of this. But the lead Reed was a little breathless and suggested that, you know, that algorithms were taking over his editors. And, you know, the Yahoo guys got very upset with that. And I understood why. I mean, why wouldn't you want to identify topics based on what your audience is looking at? I mean, of course you should want to do that. In the Dan Roth Wired piece, there's this very interesting thing where he asked a guy at Demand what their most valuable query was, and it was, how can I donate a car in Dallas? And the Demand guy didn't seem particularly interested in why that was such a common thing that people were looking for. But I mean, if I were a newspaper and editor in Dallas, I'd absolutely want to know about that. I mean, that's an interesting story. Why is that true? You know, Yahoo Sports did one on why do Olympic swimmers take a shower after they swim? And, you know, I mean, that's a good question. I'd like to know the answer to that. So, you know, I think we run the risk of, as news producers, of when there's some, you know, outside group or some guy on the staff who comes back with, you know, this is what traffic is telling us, or this is what searches are trending, or, you know, this is the algorithm that helps suggest story ideas. I mean, when we reject that as some kind of outside influence, I mean, what we're really doing is not listening to our readers. And, you know, the fact that content forums have been good at that, I mean, so what? It's just a tool. It doesn't, if a tool like that turns your website into, you know, like lurid tales and porn and cute cat pictures, I mean, that's on your editorial staff and your leadership. That's not on the tool.
Mm-hmm. It's true. What do you think the legacy will be of these of Demand Media and these services? Do you think that traditional media will be able to kind of take what's best from their model and use it for themselves?
I don't know about traditional media. I think some form of media will.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, you know, we've come a long way, I think, as an overall industry in terms of looking at traffic without being led around by it, hopefully, and in terms of, you know, looking at searches and understanding what readers are looking for. I think we'll certainly, in some part of the media, will take that and move forward. I think certain elements of kind of the workflow that they have to follow pretty rigorously will find their way into media, and I think that's not necessarily a bad thing. But, you know, I remain very worried again about the reader piece that,
right.
You know, the business model itself just does not allow sufficient time and money to make content that I think is going to have very high quality when you get away from straightforward tutorials and things like that. And, you know, if content farms can stay on the kind of straightforward, there is a simple question or process you want answered or explained, then, you know, they could be potentially a very interesting complement to news, features, et cetera, like that. But I think when they cross that line, I think that, you know, the impact on readers and searchers out there is not one we want to see happen. So it'll be fascinating to see how this all sorts out.
Yeah, I guess that seems like their vulnerability is if, you know, if the quality is really poor and, you know, search is changed or social search rises to the point where people aren't finding their content because it isn't high quality, that might be a vulnerability to the business model.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but, I mean, until we sort that out, I mean, what worries me, though, is you have papers like, you know, USA Today and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution using this stuff. And, you know, go to USA Today, go to Travel Tips, and, you know, you can put content farms to the test yourself.
Yeah.
You can look at the material and judge for yourself what the quality is. And, you know, Demand says it's not news, it's not interested in news, but, you know, when it strikes deals like that, it very much is in news. And, you know, those publishers are going to be judged on the quality of that, and they're going to have some hard decisions to make.